Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalktainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. We go where you go. Join me. This is Libby at This is Libby. And this is radio the way it should be heard. Now, I want you to know that I have somebody with me who has a little something on their heart to talk about. And since we're beginning the new year, there are some things I want to review with you and some suggestions that I have for you. And I want you to call me at 1-877-932-9766 because I want you to talk to you some Libby about happiness and so on. With us is Mr. Norman Jones, and I'm going to give him an opportunity to share some good information. They always say that an elder represents a library, and when a library goes, or when an elder goes, the library goes. Well, I'm going to be drawing on every library I can get my hands on, and phone on, and feet too, so that you get to glean every something that you can with these elders. I am an elder. Oh, yes, I am. Sister gonna be 68 in a couple weeks. So I'm getting real close to the 70 club, and I wanna know everything there is to know about that 70 club. I'm going to savor 68 this year, and I want you to join me in doing it. I'm gonna have me some fun. So unless I learn something different, right this minute, no prescription drugs, and whatever gives me a little aggravation, I just eat. That's what I said. I just eat. I eat delicious food. I rest well. Prior to my conversation with you, Ricky Tyus was telling me, telling the world, you know, you need to go get you a vacation, go on a cruise. You know, I'm going to talk to that brother when I get done. But before the weekend, I want to make sure and very sure that I've got my name down for a wonderful cruise. They say, because I've not been on one, that you can eat well, rest well, drink good, good people, music, all of the above. I want some of that. And I'm going to ask you to consider joining me when I celebrate my birthday. I'll let you know. I'll let you know. So, Mr. Jones, are you ready to talk with you some Libby?
I am ready.
So every once in a while, I'll ask someone, what's on your heart? I don't try to orchestrate that thing. I just want to know what's on your heart, because there are people in this world who need to hear your voice. So what is it that's on your heart, Mr. Jones? What is it?
Well, God continues to be in my heart and my mind, and in my residence, my community, my history, my culture, and my identity, and my children.
Okay, so what is it you want to share with us this evening? I'm ready.
We are premiering the African American Quad Centenary Jubilee and Cultural Exhibition.
I have
identified this city, Columbus, Ohio, as one of two Quad Centenary cities for the 400th anniversary of African Americans in America.
Okay. So where do we go from here? What is it that you're doing here in Columbus, Ohio?
Well, I have documented the African American experience from a personal level. I am a student at the Ohio State University, and my research project is the African American experience a personal experience in which my birth occurred on that facility, and I am going to be documenting my educational career because the Lord allowed me to be born on that campus, a major educational institution. And my first experience on earth was the medical doctor took me from my mother and assaulted me. He hit me on my booty, and that wasn't a very pleasurable experience for me. But that's what the dorm was at that time, and I understand that. But I, 1981, I enrolled at the Ohio State University to document my educational experience from a scholarly perspective. Mm-hmm. I took an independent course in continuing education and documented my adventures at the Ohio State University. And it was pretty interesting because I did a master's degree program on the art of living. L-I-V-I-N apostrophe. And that came from a exhibit that I witnessed in New Orleans called the Nubian Exhibit in Antiquity. It was where 25 international museums of arts pulled $1 million apiece to excavate the Nubian community so it could make land for the Aswan Dam to provide water into Egypt. Mm-hmm. So I saw artifacts of the 10,000 years from the cradle of civilization. Mm. And I tucked the G off of the living and made it an asterisk.
Oh, so the art of living intrigues me.
Thank you.
You're going to share that with us? I mean, what do we do? I mean, there's so many delicious distractions for us in our living. Some of us only exist.
Exactly.
So I want to know from you, what is the difference between living and existing?
The lack of knowledge of your cultural development. You have no idea where you came from. You don't appreciate your rich culture and your rich history, although it's available to you. And you have to go the World Wide Web. You can't get your history from an American science or an American history course or class. You have to go to the cradle of civilization, the origin of human culture, and that is, of course, in the continent of Africa.
What about those of us who can't get there? What do we do then?
You ask your children to Google the nations in Africa.
Okay.
And go to the origins of that country.
Okay.
A good place to go would be the United Nations, to UNESCO, the United Nations Cultural and Scientific Education Department, Division, and they will give you information on where you can go to reach to find out information on the origins of the member countries, the member nations in UNESCO.
Okay, now, for some of us, this is a lot of words. So if we do, let's just say I'm not really good at computers or whatever.
Okay.
What would intrigue a child, let's say, from the ages of 9 to 15 to 18, what would intrigue them? What is it that would get them to say, I want to do this?
Well, my hook was the games. I wrote a book called The Art of Cultural Games. Mm-hmm. And these games we have been seeing being played in our communities, in our homes, ever since we've been to America. And those games are chess, checkers, backgammon, dominoes, and selected card games.
Okay.
All these games originated in Africa probably 5,000-10,000 years ago. And their origins can be traced to the areas of which there were battles. Most of these games are battle games. Chess is an ethical war. Checkers are ethnic battles, mm-hmm. fights.
Yes.
Fights over land, I might say. Fights over the use of land. So as a result, the land has always been the prize for these ethnic fights, ethnic wars, ethnic identities, and games.
So children do enjoy the video games, which are war games,
right,
and or challenge games,
right,
virtual games. Literally, they put you right in the center of wherever it is you imagine yourself to be. So what do we have a reference similar to that that would stimulate our children to go looking for that African historic reference? So I'm trying to intrigue, say, a five-year-old.
Yeah, well, you have to introduce it to them first. And it has not been introduced to them. Their parents do not know about it. This may be the initial activity to have a desire to find out how these games originated. I did this study in 1971 in Lansing, Michigan, when I enrolled into I took classes at Lansing Community College under the GI Bill.
Okay.
And I took chess, checkers, backgammon, dominoes, wine appreciation, gourmet cooking, tennis, golf, and public relations.
Now, you know, I heard you say wine appreciation. How? I can't wait. Tell me who. You know I'm laughing. I love wine.
Okay.
So, wine appreciation. How can I add that to my historical base? You know, when I think about wine, I was introduced to it because it came from Italy, it came from France, it came from Germany. No, Germany was beer, typical traditional teaching. Mm-hmm. Japanese is sake, you know. What about African wine? Are you saying that we have our own? I'm sure there's people who know this, but for those of us who don't, because I know how to get my grandbabies interested in such a thing if I know what that such a thing is. Are you saying there's some real good African wine?
I'm saying that the origin, my introduction to wine was in actually Biblical. Jesus asked you to drink some wine and eat some bread to remember his experience on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where wine in the black community, in the black culture, initiated, was where I found it to be intriguing and in great spiritually.
So since Jesus drank wine, it's all right, huh?
Well, I mean, it was his blood. I mean, I believe in him. I believe that he is my savior. So I believe I'm drinking his wine. I'm drinking some of his body. I mean, that is going into my heart, in my mind.
My
spirit.
I can take that about 45 different ways, but I'm going to keep it right where I first saw it. When I was a child, you know, you shouldn't be drinking wine. You're not grown enough to do that. And then as I got older, I noticed that other cultures would use wine every day. Their children drank wine just like they drank water with meals. And there's a wine for the fish, and there's a wine for the steak, and there's a wine for vegetables, there's a wine for dessert. So I missed out. I felt like I was misinformed.
You were. Now, what happened to me is that the biblical Garden of Eden that had everything in it had fruit.
Yes.
And that fruit included, that among other things, included grapes, grape trees, grapevines.
Okay. Well, you know they gave us the story like there were only two people there, right? Adam and Eve.
Well, then the names were incorrect.
All right.
Evelina May, it would be more than, they call her Eve for short.
See.
That's my take on Eve. It's Evelina May and Kunta Kinte, great-granddaddy. But it was no Adam in the Garden of Eden. That's biblical. That's a biblical error.
Biblical error.
That's King James. King James came up with that. With his advisors came up with that. But I didn't. I wouldn't go with that because it didn't make sense to me.
Well, it never made sense to me either. That's one of those things that you don't. It's where you speak when you're spoken to. I was in that era. You know, you don't talk back. If the preacher said it was Mary, it was Mary. You know, if it was Eve, then it was Eve. But then now I get to a place in my life where I learned that Adam had more than one wife. It's like, ooh,
And there was more than one woman in the garden.
Woo. Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody. The door is open and I'm woke. That's so now, Mr. Jones, I'm enjoying this conversation with you because it brings me to the next question. If our scriptures have error, I want to make sure that we understand that where that source came from and what do we look to if it's biblical error, then where did you get your good information so we can go there? I can tell my 13, 19, and 16-year-old grands where to go.
You go to your heart. You go to the spirit of the Lord. You go to your interpretation of your feeling, your spirit. For me, it was creative spirit. And I was fortunate enough to be able to be in an educational arena that had guidelines for that activity. So it was my own thoughts that I created and made them into words and expressed those words, and now I live by those words.
So in your research and in your books, is there anything in there that talks about our culture being Africa, raising the dead, or healing the sick, and opening the eyes of the blind? Is that just stories, or is that some truth? Can you talk about that with me?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not a biblical scholar.
Okay.
But I can tell you that those things, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in those walks that he had while he was on earth. You would have to find someone that's more knowledgeable on the actual tenet of the Bible. Now, I go back pre-biblical.
Okay.
I go back to the words. The word that I have identified as the universal word is heritage. And those are eight letters that identify everything that has happened and everybody that's in the world that has ever been in the world. You take H, there's the first letter of the word heritage, and you next word would be E, and that would be he. That could be that would identify every male that has ever been, that ever lived, okay, or died.
All right.
Or still living. The next letter would be R. H-E-R is her, and that can identify every female that has ever been born and ever lived and is still living. The next letter is I. And that would be every individual. And that's a creative identity because it's something that you only yourself enjoy. I is your signal for you, who you are. The next letter is T. So IT would be it. That's everything can be identified as it. And those last three words are A, which could be age. It's another thing for time, but if you get older, it becomes age. G is global, which is everywhere in the world. And E is the final letter in the word heritage. In the beginning of the word heritage starts with an H and ends with the word E, the letter E. So that's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last.
Wonderful.
And that word heritage identifies everything that has happened, everything that will happen, whoever ever lives, what they did, and where they will go and where they will be. That's the word that I began as the word in the biblical sense. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And I made that word to be heritage.
Ooh, let's take a breather. And I want you to be aware that TalkTainmentRadio.com is a worldwide 24/7 no charge broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as tonight: news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, politics. Here are a few shows I'd like to share with you. Now, early I spoke about Ricky Tyus because it's your time to travel and you get good information from Ricky and he will walk you through a good time. How many people do you know that will tell you, give me a minute, and I'll walk you through a good time? Then there's Stacy Wiggins with Wiggins World of Wellness. Now, Stacy is an alpha bioticist expert, and what he does is walk you through the nerve endings of your body, your attitude toward your body, And also, he makes sure that you overstand your resources, your sources, your places to be. He makes sure you're there so you are flexible when the day is over. Might ache a little bit at first, but he even shows you how to take away aches and pains. It's a lovely process. These are just two of the shows that I'm sharing with you on TalkTainmentRadio.com. There's lots of spiritual insights from Michelle Vinal. And you can listen to these even after they've aired them live. You can go back and listen to the shows at another time. Just go to programs when you get to TalkTainmentRadio.com, the app. Go to programs and scroll down, and then you'll be able to find them and the times that they will be on. Click on those programs because TalkTainmentRadio.com is radio the way it should be heard. Now, this is Libby, and you're listening to This is Libby, and I am speaking to a very alive and well library in our life. We have an opportunity to ask questions and I gotta know. So considering that I'm approaching age 70, I'm not rushing it, I'm gonna be 68, I'm savoring 68. Some of us are approaching ages where we used to wonder about and dream about. But Mr. Jones says the best way to know about yourself is to know your history. So Mr. Jones, you have some books here and pamphlets here. I want you to share those with those of us who are listening right now. What is it you have in your hand?
First of all, I want to thank you that your station here is worldwide, but it's originating from the city of Columbus, Ohio.
That's true.
That's one of the quadcentenary cities that I have identified for this African-American experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the second city is St. Petersburg, Florida, which I will be a guest of starting February the 4th this year,
yes.
And I'll be there until Easter.
Yeah.
And I normally go there every winter. And these are two cities that I've identified as official quadcentenary cities, with cities that have rich history and rich culture that are of constructive nature. And that's what we plan and what we want to get across in this project. The New York Times has identified this 400 years as the 1619 Project.
Why is it called 1619?
Because that's the year that African Americans came officially to America in a documented form. They were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
They got off the boat and they were documented as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States Congress passed an act, which I lobbied for in Washington, D.C., to become a law, the law is 1211. Let's see what I got here.
Yes, yes. So
the 400 years of African American culture.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying to me is you were instrumental in making sure that we are aware that 1619 was the year that documentation took place for our history regarding the slavery process.
For our official appearance in North America. In 1992, I was a part of the quincentennial, which was 500th anniversary celebration of Christopher Columbus's voyage to America.
Okay.
And this city hosted the Amerifloor exhibition, an earth exhibition, a world-class earth exhibition to identify the accomplishments of Americans in the New World, quote.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the African-American experience in the New World. The exhibition was held in the historic Franklin Park in the history in Bronzeville community of Columbus, Ohio. I grew up in this area, in the city. I experienced my education, my cultural experience, my athletic skills, my lovemaking, my running around trying to find little girls to play with.
Life.
life experiences. And it was at home in the community where we were welcome in our community. It's the only place we were welcome because we weren't really welcome downtown. So it was our community that they had this, hosted this international exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And my exhibit was a buckeye tree and four buckeye shrubs. And those trees, the tree is still in the park, in the Davis Lawn of the Franklin Park. And it yields what I call international buckeyes because they were official part of the international exhibition.
Mm.
So I am going to be marketing them through the Ohio State University's marketing department since it is their official name, Buckeye Nut.
Useless nut when I came here.
Right. And I did research on that, and I found out that buckeyes, if you can put those buckeyes between your spring, your bit, mattress spring, and your box springs and your mattress, you can slow down the development of and the advancement of arthritis.
Ooh, did you all hear what he just said?
So we're going to market those buckeye nuts. Now, you can get them free off of any other tree, but you can't get an international buckeye unless you get it from me at the Miraflor.
Ooh, did you hear that?
At the Franklin Park.
The so-called useless nut has been found to be a very good health benefit by putting those. How do we do that? Do you put it under the mattress? What do we do with it?
You put it between the mattress and the box
springs? The box springs?
Yes.
Oh, how long? I mean, is there?
You put it in until you feel the effects of you're feeling better.
Oh,
and then that shows that you're doing, and you should continue to keep doing that until you. I ain't gonna say it cures it, but I can tell you that if you feel better, you would be involved.
You know what? I believe in cures.
Yeah. Well, we did that when we were kids.
Yeah, I mean, the elders in my life did a lot of things that were cures. And so to learn that, that was really good. Now you're going to make me have to go buy some buckeye.
No, you can take them off the tree. All you have to do is find a buckeye tree and take them when they go off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Take them up.
I love this. So now I've got the wine appreciation and I've got the buckeye medicinal use. Mm-hmm. And then we have the knowledge of our heritage, and those letters have significant meaning. We also learned right this minute, I'm intrigued by the fact that we are attracted to war games and challenge games. So chess, dominoes, and such would probably be really good for our children's brain activity, their cognitive abilities. So it's not about the video games so much.
The video game destroys their mind because it teaches them violence. With no history, it teaches them to win at all costs. And by winning, you're destroying your opponents with no reason other than the fact that they disappear or you win.
They bleed to death.
You win games, yeah. And you can trace that to the deaths of the people who are killing each other, the kids are killing each other in
yes.
that quality. So that's a direct result of that. And it's known by the community. It's known by the educators. It's known by the doctors. The politicians. They know that. All they have to do is just look and see what's going on. I also use that buckeye nut as your brain in the Art of Living game that I have created as a part of my effort here. And it's a board game where you have 40 squares
mm-hmm.
and a buckeye, and you use three dice. To identify your movements and where you land on squares, and you answer questions of where you land.
You ask questions?
The game asks questions.
And then you have to answer these questions?
To the best of your ability. And you can cheat. You can use references.
You can cheat?
We have church day, and you can use the Bible to name a biblical verse.
Okay.
Because you had to identify what verse it is.
How do we get a hold of this game?
Well, you talk to me.
Oh, we're talking to you right now. Matter of fact, how can we reach you? If once you leave my table, how can I reach you? Or how can we reach you?
Well, the best way for me, because you had to do technology now because you can't.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I have an email that's aaqccj@gmail.com.
Okay.
And that's my research.
Is this the one we use in order to, yes, to reach you this way?
Yes, that's my research identity, and AA is African American CC is, African, AAQ, which is African American Quincentennial Cultural Exhibition and Jubilee. So regardless of whether you like it or not, you are a part of the African American fun time in America. You're going to learn, or you're going to have fun learning about who you are and your accomplishments.
So if we wanted to cheat, what references would we use? What books?
Well, you can use a dictionary. You can use, we have a numbers game, a numbers day where you identify, you convert numerals to the Arabic to the.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to stop you right here because I have to remind everybody that TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. A living library in our presence on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Call in the number live, 1-877-932-9766. Talk to you some other day. For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. The JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk. We don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment.
with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainment Radio app to your cell or tablet. And remember that radio, it's radio the way it should be heard. I'm stuttering a little bit because I'm excited about having a living library right here with us on This is Libby. So call in at 1-877-932-9766 and talk to you some Libby and Mr. Norman Jones. He is a well-researched historian. He has numerous books and articles. He's even created a game so that we can continue to learn while we play. So I'm glad you're with me, Mr. Jones. I really am. What I want to do now, because you mentioned the art of living, you mentioned lack of knowledge, you mentioned chess and dominoes as a game, a brain game, a conflict game, but harmless. Then there's wine appreciation and creative spirit. He also you described heritage and those letters and what that means. This is what I want to know. I want to pick your brain just a little bit. What I want to know is, you are an elder. Are you okay with telling us your age?
I turned 75 in July of 2019.
Okay.
I'm a pre-baby boomer. I'm a post-baby boomer and a pre-millennium.
Yes, so you're in the house. Now, the questions that I'm going to ask, I'm going to first start with the fact that I want to talk about fear. We're entering 2020. There's a lot of turmoil going on. The weather is real crazy. There are volcanoes. There are earthquakes. People are dying from now, which is another day. We'll talk about this another day. But there is a virus out right now. I think it originated, or they found it to be, in China or Asia. I'll put it that way. It's killed at least 17 people, and it's coming through a source called bat soup. Now, there's quarantine conversations with this virus. And so I want everyone to know not to be afraid. Don't be afraid, okay? However, be aware. So since the word fear has just been coming up over and over again, I want to just give you a few facts about fear. And then, you know, Mr. Jones, when we were children, our ancestors, now ancestors, taught us how to survive back then by using some good common sense stuff. So you got punished harshly. Everybody didn't do it. Come on now. However, you would get punished for misobeying and not doing, because it could make a difference in whether you even got home from wherever it is you went. So based on that, I looked up the word fear and what that meant and why our ancestors, our grannies and granddaddies and uncles and aunties wanted to make sure we survived, because fear in its proper place works. So it's an emotional response to threats, okay, and danger. It's a basic survival mechanism that responds to a specific stimulus, such as pain or the threat of pain. And I won't go further with that. It's just that fear is an emotion, such as joy, sadness, anger. Those are emotions as well. You being 75 years old, I'm going to put this paper down and look you into the camera and into your face as well. Our men are in trouble. And you're 75, you've seen a lot of things. I want to know what we're going to do. Where do we start? What mistakes have we made? What mistakes are we making now, and how do we fix it? Because your wisdom is going to stay with us long after you go to Florida and enjoy yourself in that warm air, when I'll be here, when it's 20-something. So tell me your take on our men now. Young men, old men, start wherever you like. And tell me your feeling about our men.
We dropped God.
Okay.
When we were growing up, God was everywhere.
All right.
So we went to church, we went to the streets, we went on our way to church. We heard the radio, Amos, not to say Amos and Andy, but I mean Eddie Saunders would play radio spiritual.
Yes, yes.
And we never missed a record because everybody down the block had the same radio program on until we got to church.
Mm-hmm.
And those churches and those activities that the children involved themselves in Sunday school, BYPU, was always directed toward the fear of God.
Okay.
And that's the fear that we have not lost. We're fearing everybody except for God.
Ooh.
And as a result, we are getting destroyed. And that's because of that man in doctrine, in the fear that he actually put in the African Americans when they got off their ship as slaves. But we still believed that God was still alive, so we was able to make that transition and go through that harshness and come out. Actually, we would go to the fields and pick cotton from sun up to sundown. On Saturday, we got a half a day off, and we went to town. Eventually found our way to the juke joint.
Oh!
And we parted until the sunlight came up, and when we had to go to church, where we heard the spirit, and we were asleep. Because we had the body made us sleep.
Are you?
And that was our rest. That's how we made it through the cotton picking days, because we couldn't go to sleep. There was no rest. You had to work every day, all day.
Okay.
Almost 36 hours every day.
36 hours every day?
Well, you work
24.
You work twice as hard every day.
I get you. Now, you know, our youngers are going to say, man, we don't know nothing about that.
That's because their parents wouldn't tell them about it because it was so cruel. My mother would not allow. My mother moved from the country because the harshness. She left 100 square acres that was given to her mother, who was the owner of her family. And she had six children from the white plantation owner, and he left 100 square acres to the kids.
All right.
And my mother said, y'all can split it up because I don't want no part of it. Now, she just took my inheritance from me. But I'm not upset with her for that because it made me creative to get my own inheritance. And that was my mind.
Okay, so I remember, now you mentioned the church, so I'll do that one first. In the church, the pastor was a very prominent, powerful figure for our young men. There was a way to do things, and so his influence made the difference between yay and nay. I mean, it just did. So you would go to the pastor, am I correct?
No.
If there was a problem?
No.
Who would you go to?
You would go to God. You would go to your father. You would go to the example, the person that sleep with. Slept with your mother, the one that brought food into your home and made clothes for you. You would go to your father, your physical father, and your spiritual father.
Okay.
You would not go to breaking a preacher unless he was your father.
Okay. So our experiences with preachers are a little different because the preacher that baptized me as a child, his name was Moses L. Jackson. Big, thick, muscular man and a gentle hand could crush you, literally crush your neck with his hand.
Okay.
But he had a gentle hand and he had a big booming voice and his spirit was just powerful. Mm-hmm. So That experience with us is different. However, that preacher was still in your presence, correct?
Right.
In that church. Oh, yeah. He was an official person
in
the church.
Right. He was the head of the church.
Then did you have like the people under the pastor, like deacons and so forth? Well, the structure of the church was pretty much the same?
That was when my early children, my early childhood, which was at Macedonia Baptist Church, which was located in historic Flytown community in Columbus, downtown Columbus. That was grown-up business, grown-up folks' business.
So
we couldn't involve ourselves in any policies of the church or even talking in the church, because your mother would look at you. She would discipline you with her eyes.
Oh, do we remember the look?
So that was the way, that's the fear. The fear we had was with our parents.
There's the fear of the youthful.
That's the activity. And it was disciplined fear that we inherited from our origins.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have to whip nobody.
Oh.
We just had to make an expression. Actually, that expression came not only in fear, but in love, because it introduced love to a wink of a woman's eye in answer to a wink of a man's eye would create a romantic atmosphere and sometimes to marriage. So it wasn't just physical, it wasn't a physical hand-on thing, it was the expression in your body. Even dancing, I found out that our movements and dancing and steps was created when a woman would drop her child, her offspring, in a stand-up position, and he would drop on the ground, on
uh-huh.
the soft ground. And if he bounced, he was breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he bounced long enough and his hands and his balance became available, he would jump.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of walking from one place to a place, he would jump.
Mm-hmm.
That's the brings our arithmetic experience.
Uh-huh.
He could dance, but that dancing is part of his first standing up on his foot.
Yes.
He was bouncing. He wasn't walking. He wasn't crawling.
So there was structure for everything. There's a purpose for absolutely everything.
There is an origin to everything.
So then what do you think about what our children are doing now?
Well,
they call it dancing.
But the integration is the structure of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Our structure in integrating. We integrated our schools. It destroyed our history. It destroyed our community. It destroyed our identity. When before integration, we lived in our solid black communities.
Ooh, yes.
And everybody in the community looked out for everybody.
Yes.
So we looked out for winos, and the winos looked out for the children. So we had a structure. We had a discipline. We had an order.
An order. That's the word. There was order. An order. So even the drunk on the street, we knew him as Uncle Charlie or Old Sam or Aunt Ethel May or whoever the name was. There was a mutual respect for that person.
And we didn't call him a drunk. Mm-hmm. We called him a wino because that's what he did. He drank wine. But he also worked, because he was on that corner where the people that needed people to work for them, they would go to the corner. And the guys would be standing there in the wintertime with fire in the barrel.
Fire in the barrel?
To keep them warm.
I see,
And they would pick up people and take them to where they would get jobs and get work and get enough money to make their income for their wine.
Okay, so now what are you seeing in our community now? Because I know you're in the community. What is that you're seeing, the breakdown?
I see a police force. I see a police action. I see a police state. I see something that is disciplined, that is best for the establishment.
Mm.
And the establishment, we used to be able to sit down on the corner and harmonize.
Oh, yeah.
And we became famous, and the drifters started. Everybody any substance in the entertainment field is singing and dancing. They started on the corner.
Yes, they did. I was out there.
And as a result, we were a little bit more disciplined, but now we can't even stand on the corner, or else we can't even be in our car. They'll tell you to get out of your car.
Then why are you saying that?
Because they want that discipline. They want you to bow down. They want you to know that there's law and order in the land, and the law and order is directed toward us keeping the order, and not you guys doing what you want to do or say what you want to do. But the Constitution destroyed that. But what we did was, we have to obey the law. That's one thing that I identified. My mother always told me, and my mm-hmm. father always said, do not go to jail, because you know what will happen. You will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it was. And you didn't want not to, you didn't want to go to jail because you didn't want to miss out on what was going on in the corner.
So what do we tell the young men who are making the babies? Now, I know the women are there too. Don't go there. But we're just talking about the men right now because I have an elder here with knowledge to give to our men. What do you tell them? Let's say, for instance, they're making numerous babies, not taking care of their children. Y'all know I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about you, don't worry about it. But some of the men, young men and older, are not taking care of their babies. What do you tell them? You just said folks went to work, even the winos went to work. What do you tell these young men now?
Well, back in the day, we would take our children with us to work. And as a result, they would learn by looking at us and then by our example.
Okay.
So the older people now said, we educated, so you don't have to come, because back in the day we had to work hard in the fields and on the construction sites and so forth, so we could get our kids to help us with that job.
Okay.
But now we got educated and got white folks jobs inside the office. We couldn't take them there to teach them anything that was involved with the money that white folks were making. So as a result, our kids were out in the street, and they were doing things that they felt that was comfortable to them and was not making money. One of the things that happened during the civil rights era was the black kids, or the kids that did the demonstration, they had no discipline, because they were going and robbing and stealing and taking advantage of the situation.
How did we lose the discipline? There was a fear at one point. There's things you didn't even talk back to your
That's
grandmother.
Right. That's
you
right.
You didn't talk. Auntie who? What? You'd go into the middle of next week with a few less teeth. I mean, but there's a breakdown with that. What do you think happened, and what can we do to fix it?
Because
they don't have fear like we used to have.
Our leadership failed us with the civil rights movement.
Oh.
Because they had no interest in or no appreciation for economics, for the things that make this America what it is. There's nothing happens in America any day if nothing is sold or nothing is sold. If nothing happens and somebody buys something, somebody sells something.
Uh-huh.
That's the discipline. Now, going to Kroger's, you being able to go to Kroger's or being able to go to the Hilton and get a room is fine, except for you had to pay for that room. And if you don't have enough money to pay for that room or to get your groceries, you don't participate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the component that we don't have. And that was the exact direct result from the civil rights movement.
Okay, so Kroger, if you're not familiar, it's a grocery store located here in the central area of the country. However, there are other grocery stores, and I think I got it what he's talking about. One, you had to work so you could eat. And two, if you wanted to go to a very nice place to be, you had to have the money and provisions to take care of that. And he's saying to you, if I'm incorrect, now you stop me, Mr. Jones, okay? What he said, so the young men, my understanding, a lot of them are living off women. And some of that's going to change here real soon because of the way politics are working. Now, when you're old enough, did you bring in the entire income, or did you have help when you were younger with your family?
I did not allow my wife to go to work.
You didn't allow that?
That was my responsibility, her and my children.
Okay.
And now my children own my company. Mm-hmm. I work for them because I work for them.
Uh-huh. So now for those of you that don't get all tore up here when he says I didn't allow, because there was a standard that these men lived by, these men who are now in their 70s and 75s and approaching 80s, that was their responsibility, they felt, to take care of the family. My understanding after talking with my father was, I bring home the money. If my wife wants to help me, because it's a little different time, if she wants to help me, that's fine. But my family depends solely on my money. We know those circumstances have changed, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what happened that it changed? A lot of breakdown going on, a lot of conversation going on about provisions and family. So what do you think happened?
What happened was the welfare community
and
the social activities destroyed the family intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were receiving any assistance for your children, and your caseworker came to your house and saw a man pair of shoes in your house, they would cut you out for welfare, saying that you can't be, you cannot be living with your sons, with your son's father, because we're giving you some money. And that destroyed the community breakdown. It did it legally, it did it politically, it did it through the law. Mm-hmm. It destroyed the family of an African American, and also some white kids.
Oh, sure, there's always some fallout on that side as well. So if I was to quote you on anything, what is it you would tell our young men at this time?
I would tell them to look at their parents and look at their grandparents. Okay. And see what their grandparents did to live and did what they did for their families. Mm-hmm. And the example that they chose to give their parents. And what we're doing with this quadcentenary is developing stories of ancestry in the 19th century. Since blacks have been in America for just only 400 years, my father told me that 250 of those years were on-the-job training programs. Uh-huh. When we learned how to work, we learned how to create, we learned how to invent, we learned how to enjoy our lives and to treat our families and our communities with respect, and we made it.
Okay.
And then we found out that we were smart, we went to school, and we found out that we got the right folks' education, and we started living like them. And we wanted to be like them, and we are, because they are killing each other, and they've been killing everybody. Now we're killing each other.
Now, so what I'm getting from you right now, the wisdom in our conversation, has to do with our history, our standards, our way of life, making the difference, because we don't pick cotton anymore. Yeah. I have memories of cotton fields.
Okay.
But most of the people that listen to my voice may not have that. But what I'm gleaning from you that you're telling our people is that we need to learn about where we came from, pick up on some of those practices that worked, let go of the ones that do not, correct?
We need to pay attention to who we are and Ooh. Not to what other people are.
Oh, that's marvelous.
We need to do the best that we can do among ourselves and to ourselves and for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And let America do what they, let them do their thing, but we should do our thing. Because we do it better.
We do it better?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, I'd like to end it on that. Yeah. We do it better. Hey, Libby's going to write that down. And this year, since I'm savoring 68, we're going to do it better. We do it better. It's a little different than going to do it, but we do it better.
Yeah.
I do want to thank you for being with me.
I'm glad I talked
this
to you.
This has been rich, because not only do we have your words, but we also have your written words
right.
as well to refer to. I'm looking forward to doing that. That wine appreciation thing is kind of nice, and that creative spirit touched my spirit, because we're all given gifts, correct? And if we use our given gifts to further promote humanity, we do it better.
I want to say something before we go.
Yes, that. What's that?
I retired on Labor Day of 2019
yeah.
as guest in the press box at Ohio Stadium of the president of the university.
Okay.
So I was in the press box for 6 decades.
Okay.
I began at East High School in a journalism class.
Oh, yes. East High School. So now what I want, if you don't know East High School, look it up, East High School. TalkTainmentRadio.com is the world's greatest radio. It's radio the way it should be heard. So being that in that position right there, I'm going to be using that a lot as well, because it is the greatest radio. And when you come back, and you know I'm going to have you come back here, right,
I'll
Mr.
Be back
Giles?
Easter. I'll be back Easter.
You'll be back? He's going to go to Florida, you
right.
see? And he's going to lay out in the sun and get...
No, I'm going to speak at the... I'm going to introduce the Barack Obama Library in St. Petersburg.
In the sunshine. In the warm air. Sea breezes blowing. The whole thing,
right.
correct?
Golf beach.
Oh, yep, yeah, see? And so that way, what I'm saying to everyone here is that you should learn your history. You'd be surprised how rich we really are. Just our food, the food that we eat, New Year's Day and that kind of thing. So considering all the things that we do to stay alive, to stay healthy, stay well. We want to live well, correct, Mr. Jones?
We do live well.
Oh, we do live well. Loving
We're
it.
We're still breathing.
Yes, we are. So, considering all that, just again, remember that TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, is radio the way it should be heard.